What's up, guys? Welcome to Believe in Rams, part of the Believe Network. Erin Coscarelli with you. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, and follow this podcast. You can also catch us on Believe TV, read the top Believe stories at si.com, and of course, follow us on all the socials. Super excited to have, as draft is inching closer and closer, our mock drafts are all over the place, a guy to break down all the storylines following Los Angeles is the host of The First Team and the Ruffino and Joe Show on Believe. Joe DeLeon is somebody that studies up and down all night long, inside and out, all the mock drafts. And of course, you know, I'm going to ask him all kinds of things with regards to what to expect on draft day. Remember, this is the first time since 2016 that the Rams have had a first round pick. Are they going to go offense? There's a lot of talk that they may go offense when no longer is Aaron Donald on the roster. So we're going to ask him all kinds of questions and let's get right to it. All right, guys. Well, with just over a week away from the draft, the Rams have some major storylines heading into the draft. No better guy, of course, to break it down other than a man who might actually be obsessed with the draft. He's the host of the First Team and the Ruffino and Joe Show on Believe, Joe DeLeon. Joe, did I say that correctly?
Yes, you nailed it. You also nailed the obsession part. Understatement for absolutely, for how much I love the NFL draft. It feels crazy that it's this close. Like, it feels like it's been decades since the last draft and we're a week away. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I know. And you're the perfect guy to have on the show because obsession, expert, all of the things to describe heading into the draft, even some of that, you know, I was even set to talk about my Trojans with you. And maybe if we have time, we'll get into that. But, you know, I think since this is a Rams show, I would like to pull the lens back and do a big picture, in your opinion, because there's so much talk about what the Rams might do with that first round pick, a first round pick they haven't had in a really long time. Before we get into the actual draft, what are you hearing and what do you believe are the biggest needs that need to be addressed heading into the season?
Yeah, I think that the two that stand out the most to me, which might not come to fruition in the first round because we know that McVay is an offensive-minded coach and that he might still prioritize offense in the first round, it's hard to truly gauge what he's going to do because it's been feels like so long ago since they last had a first-round pick. But I feel they definitely need to address cornerback and they definitely need to address edge, especially with the departure of Aaron Donald on the inside. They're going to need to find a little bit more juice on their defensive line in order to create the disruption that they're going to have to figure out how to replace, which is going to be a huge, tall task. But cornerback also is something that they're going to need to pursue in order to really bolster. It felt like that was one of their biggest inconsistencies last year, and they haven't really had a premier player at the position since they parted ways with Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, and interesting you mentioned the secondary. They made some adjustments in free agency, but with regards to Aaron Donald, you know, when we had Steve Wyche on, he said, you're not going to replace him. You're going to try to compensate for him, which is what he asked Sean McVay at the owners' meetings. How do they compensate for Aaron Donald? And is there a guy in the draft that you think is a likely comparison to him?
I think if you're trying to compensate for losing a guy like that, they have benefited for his time with the Rams that they didn't necessarily need premier talents to play off of him. We saw a lot of guys that were mid-level to slightly above average that were able to find their next contract. Sebastian Joseph Day is a perfect example of that. Not exactly a guy who coming out of Rutgers was a premier defensive line talent, but they were still able to get production out of him. And he has gone on to be productive with other teams since. And I think that now the idea needs to be finding more balance. You need to find guys that are all going to contribute in different ways. Like you mentioned here, trying to replace Aaron Donald is going to be an impossible task. But to answer that second part of that question, if there is anyone who maybe somehow closely resembles, and I don't want to give these crazy high expectations to this player, but if I had to pick one guy, it would be Jurjan Johnny Newton from Illinois. And the reason why I compare the two is because they're both low to the ground. They're both very squatty and have this very rare power building capability where they can just generate so much force in short areas. And also, Jurjan Newton is so disruptive. And he took away so much attention from the other guys on his defensive line, just like Aaron Donald did. You look at Keith Randolph, who's also in this class and is going to go somewhere middle to end of day three. He generated a lot of production because of all of this disruption that Newton was able to cause. So I think if there was one guy to not fully compare, but maybe partially, like three quarters of the way compare one to the other, I would say Jurjan Newton.
Yeah, it's hard to compare anyone to Aaron Donald. He's a generational talent and an impact player. As soon as he hit the field as a rookie, he was Defensive Rookie of the Year. But that leads me to my next question for you, Joe, which is that first round pick, right? Because it's so interesting. Peter Schrager had a mock draft that recently he said he's going to go on the record with something of a guarantee here, okay? I'm reading this verbatim. If the Rams do not trade back, you better believe Sean McVay's first ever first round selection will be an offensive player. And, you know, we know the, of course, questions surrounding how they're going to shore up without Aaron Donald. But how are you feeling with regards to what Peter Schrager is saying that the Rams may do with that first round pick?
Yeah, that was what I was referencing earlier when I said that they haven't had a first rounder in a while. We know that McVay is very offensively motivated, and I trust Schrager's opinion on this because we know how close his relationship is with McVay. So if they are eyeing an offensive player, wouldn't be shocked. I feel like one that I keep seeing brought up is Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. He feels like the type of receiver that the Rams covet, where he's got tremendous long speed, he's a little bit raw, and if you can really tap into those traits and the skill set that he brings to the position, they can really get the production out of him that he's capable of producing. And I look at the track record that McVay has had, where he's looked at Cooper Kupp and he's realized, okay, he's a great route runner, he's got really good hands. If I can utilize him in this way, he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, if not more than that. And then we saw Puka Nacua. Big physical guy, good route runner. If we use him this way, we're going to turn him into the offensive rookie of the year. Or a rookie of the year candidate, rather. And I think that Brian Thomas Jr. is a great example of that, where he might actually have the highest ceiling out of any of the receivers in this class. But because he's got such a small sample size of playing time and exposure and him getting on the field at LSU with all the guys ahead of him, we haven't been able to even get anywhere close to that ceiling. So Brian Thomas Jr., I think, makes a lot of sense. But if they didn't go receiver and they wanted to go, say, offensive tackle, Amarius Mims from Georgia would also be a name that I would pay close attention to. If he's somehow still on the board, them bolstering the offensive line would make a lot of sense. And Amarius Mims would be the perfect guy to do that.
Well, there was another part of what he said that was interesting. Well, I guess my first question is, so where are you leaning on the line of, are you thinking they're going to go offense? Like you mentioned, Sean McVay being an offensive minded coach, is the Joe intuition, are all the signals pointing to, in the event they don't trade back, that they would go offense? Is that what your senses, your gut is telling you?
See, the immediate thing that when I was reading this morning is my gut reaction is, it also could be a smokescreen. This could be an easy opportunity for Schrager getting information from the Rams organization to try and push this out there, that they're eyeing maybe going for an offensive guy. And I know that's very tinfoil hat-ish in a way that I'm bringing that up. My gut, though, is that they need to fix their defense. I feel like offensively, Matthew Stafford is such a great quarterback that he's able to elevate the guys around him. And they were able to get so much out of Kyren Williams last year that their run game is already really figured out. And they spent all this money on Jonah Jackson, that their offensive line played better than expected. I don't really understand why it would make sense for them to go after a receiver when you've already got Puka Nacua, who played unbelievably, way better than anyone would have thought he would have played. And then Cooper Kupp, who was a triple crown guy in the receiving statistics, why you'd need to go and spend a first round pick on a third receiver, I could totally see end of day two, beginning of day three, that's when you invest in a receiver. Or if they're trying to fix the offensive line and just add some depth, do it on day two. There's some guys that you're going to be able to grab there. But they need talent on the defensive side of the football. There's no one really that scares me defensively, and I think it'd be a misfire if they didn't try to go after a premier player.
Yeah. So there could be some trickery going on right here, some wizardry that maybe they're trying to throw us off the scent in the event. And that's what's incredible about what Sean and Les have done in years past with regards to, I mean, you know, you mentioned last year, Puka Nacua is the 177th overall pick who, set the all-time rookie receiving record in his first year. So they've shown that they're clever in that war room. Mm. But he also said, because I love to just overanalyze. It's like one of my favorite things to do is overthink and overanalyze. He also mentioned, that's why we're here. I mean, it's speculation station. It's what we do here. It's the NFL. And we like to think, you know, we know what could happen in the war room on draft day. And that's why it's so fun to kind of, you know, build this up. And as Eric was mentioning draft, you know, talking about the draft is the most exciting. Eric is our boss here at Believe. But Schrager mentioned trading back. What about considering that? Do you feel that could even be a possibility here with LA?
Yeah, I think that the Rams fall into that bucket of teams that they're in a position where they were good enough to make the playoffs, or some of the other teams that fall in this bucket were on the fringe of maybe making the playoffs. And in order for them to take that next step of competing for a Super Bowl, winning and at least getting to the NFC Championship game, you're going to need to find multiple starters in the first three rounds. You're going to need to find guys that are going to contribute. You're not in a position where you're trying to land somebody that you're going to develop in a couple of years. You're going to actualize that talent. You need guys that can contribute now, especially for the fact that Matthew Stafford, we don't know how much longer he's going to play for. He is getting up there. His consistency in terms of his availability because of injuries has propped up over the past couple of seasons. And we saw what happened the prior year in 2022 when he completely was unavailable. So I think that trade back is 100% in the cards for the Los Angeles Rams. And I would actually argue that it might behoove them to make that decision to trade back, take somebody in the end of the first round, and then use those other picks on day two, or maybe it's a future first, in order to continue to develop this roster. I think it's always an advantage for a team like the Rams to trade back and add as much draft capital as possible.
I mean, how many Rams fans would be so upset if their first chance, I think it's Sean McVay's first round pick, they don't get one. But they've shown in the past how talented they are when it comes to evaluating talent. And since, you know, you're an expert, you're obsessed with the draft and years previous, where would you rank the Rams in terms of their ability to evaluate talent, their ability to make some key pickups, especially later in the draft? And now they're not going to have Raheem Morris or Zach Robinson. And does that change as far as developing talent in the future?
I certainly think that they're top five. Like, I think that they fall in the same conversation as the Kansas City Chiefs, where they've had this innate ability to not only identify talent that is good enough to contribute early, but to develop them into key contributing starters on their rosters. And I think we can talk about the three offensive players that have been so important for them, which I mentioned already, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and Kyren Williams. Those three guys were risky, and they weren't exactly premier prospects that anyone would have expected would have been some of the best at their positions. But here we are a year later, heading into 2024, and all three of them have had historic years. Kyren Williams played unbelievably well, way better than anyone would have thought, and it kind of seemed like he was maybe on this trajectory just to be inconsistently available on the field and injury prone. So I think that they're certainly in that conversation. I would love to see, though, I feel like defensively there has been a lot left to be desired for them succeeding and finding mid to late round picks that have turned into super productive players. It feels like a lot of the times that they've gone after premier prospects or just premier players in general on the defensive side of the ball or had them on the roster, it's been because they have acquired them through trade and they've gone and made a move to go get them. So we need to mm-hmm. see a little bit more of a history of developing on the defensive side of the football in order to move them up higher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can't help but point out mentioning Matthew Stafford and your take on, you know, his timetable, obviously wanting to shore up the offensive line to protect Matthew Stafford, who's 36 years old now. What do you envision the future for Matthew Stafford to look like? What is his timetable? And then, you know, additionally, I think the other question is, do you see them targeting a quarterback in the later rounds? Or what about talking about Stetson? Stetson Bennett?
I think that for the way that we've seen the amount of injuries creep up on Matthew Stafford, it feels like this is coming to an end within the next 3 or 4 years. It reminds me a little bit of with Matt Ryan, with his time with the Falcons, where he kind of fell off a cliff that last season, where he gets traded to the Indianapolis Colts, and he just is not the same guy that we're used to seeing. I'm not saying that Stafford's going to fall off a cliff, but we saw how quickly his career came to an end when we spent all this time saying, like, man, if the Falcons just got one more guy, if they just got one more guy or the right coach, they were going to get back to the Super Bowl, and that never came to fruition. Hopefully that isn't the case for the Rams, because as you asked here, maybe they have the foresight to go and draft somebody in order to find that eventual successor. And this could be a draft for them to do that. There are some decent options. Guys like Michael Pratt from Tulane is somebody who I really like on day two, maybe in the third round, fourth round. He, to me, is really steady. He's a very consistent decision maker, very accurate and pinpoint placement. Doesn't necessarily have the biggest arm. Spencer Rattler, to me, is somebody who's been a riser throughout this process. Not like a super traitsy quarterback, but we saw what he could do this past year when everything was kind of coming together for him mentally and understanding the game. And then if they wanted to maybe pull the trigger on somebody like Bo Nix or Michael Penix, if they fell to their lap in the second round, I would argue that it would really be a smart decision for them to consider doing that. I've seen there's been mock drafts by large and reputable draft analysts throughout this process who have even said in the first round, Bo Nix or Michael Penix is there, they should consider it. I think that's a little bit too rich for my blood, but at the very least, they need to draft a quarterback in this class either this year, next year, whatever it might be, in order to start building this lineage. We have seen multiple teams do this where they'll draft a guy once every couple of years, and if maybe that guy progresses really well, does good in the preseason, you can trade him. Perfect example is the Patriots. So they should definitely invest the capital on a quarterback, even if Stetson Bennett does look like he is maturing, which, you know, for whatever, 28-year-old, 27-year-old, it doesn't seem like he's doing that anytime soon.
So let's dig into your Stetson Bennett opinions. You don't see him in the future representing an LA Rams jersey, or you're saying you still need some time to really feel comfortable and confident about that?
Yeah, I don't know enough about what led to him not being a part of the organization for most of this year. It's really disappointing that a guy who is supposed to be billed as not only an amazing backup potentially in the NFL, but could have been a surprise starter. Everyone was saying this is going to be the next Brock Purdy, and he wasn't even available. I just think that for the amount of red flags that have propped up since his declaring for the draft until now, to the point where he turns down going to the Senior Bowl, which was important for him. And then after that, he gets arrested for the public intoxication situation. And then everything that happened this past year. I just think that for all of the off the field problems that could be arising here for Stetson Bennett, you do have to be careful, and you need to have a contingency plan. And at the end of the day, you can't be wasting your energy worrying about what the backup quarterback is doing. If there's going to be a guy that's causing problems, it at least better be the starter. So if he's not maturing to this point where, and this isn't even a 20-year-old guy, a 21-year-old guy. This is it's supposed to be billed as this older, mature, experienced guy who just seemingly is not really ready to take that next step. If he's much cleaner during this preseason process, then certainly he should be considered to be the backup. But I don't think it hurts them to find another option for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, was the Jimmy G signing indication of their confidence in him?
I would say so.
Or lack of, yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that's a pretty blatant indicator of we need an adult in the room. We need some steadiness. I mean, you don't bring in Jimmy G if he's not going to be your surefire backup. And I don't think you keep Stetson and Bennett around as your third quarterback. I think the writing could potentially be on the wall for him unless he shows up and he has an unbelievable training camp, which maybe that results in him getting traded. But the Jimmy G signing definitely was pretty telling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I just think that if the Rams are comfortable or confident with a guy like Stetson, they wouldn't have brought in somebody like Jimmy G. But, you know, time will tell. Like you said, I think this preseason is a great opportunity for him to show that maybe he has grown or has evolved. And you made the excellent point of if we're worrying about a backup quarterback, we've got some big problems. Well, okay, so then I guess my question for you, this is a good one, is in your opinion, who do you believe the Rams should not draft? Who shouldn't the Rams draft?
Wow, that is a really good question. I think that, and are we talking just purely in the draft in general or in the first round? Is that kind of the what you're thinking here with that?
Yeah, I think what would you be disappointed in seeing if the direction in LA went mm-hmm. somewhere where maybe you were scratching your head kind of wondering like what was that for?
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, their roster is in a position where I don't think any position for me would be like, what the heck are you doing? If they took a quarterback in the first round, I think that that would certainly constitute that reaction because, you know, we just mentioned Jimmy G was signed and then Stafford, the importance for him on the roster, and you've got all these other needs. I do think, though, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, if they do take a receiver in the first round, that to me is the big one of like, mm-hmm. really? Was that really worth it? I think if there's a guy on the board that you're in love with at receiver, and if that is Brian Thomas Jr., go for it. But if they're just forcing taking a receiver just to take a receiver because McVay wants another weapon, that to me would be a head scratcher. Like for instance, I think a guy's like Xavier Worthy's been rumored to be a first round pick. I think of like A.D. Mitchell, who was his teammate. Those guys are good players. Keon Coleman from Florida State. Those are good players. They're first round worthy players. But I'd really be scratching my head of like, was it really necessary to take that guy when you've got all these other needs that need to be addressed? That'd probably be the big one. Or I'd even add in if they made an early investment within the first three rounds at running back, that to me is very unnecessary. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they have not only Kyron Williams, but they've also got a pretty decent running back room that it just wouldn't make much sense. If you're going to do that, wait until day three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of day three and the later rounds of the draft, sleeper picks that you see maybe you're keeping an eye on, you think would be good for LA from the fifth round on?
First one that I really love and that I'm constantly pounding the table for is Jalix Hunt, the pass rusher from Houston Christian. That's a real deep pull there. I think that he's going to go somewhere on day three. He was a Senior Bowl participant. This is a guy who was formerly a defensive back at Cornell, transfers to Houston Christian, transitions to edge rusher. He's really filling into his frame. And if you flip on the tape, you just see an unreal, like just natural ability to bend, to divert blockers, and to create space for himself. But at the same time, you acknowledge he's got no idea how to defend the run, and he's also got really no idea how to use his hands or you know, use any real pass rush moves. I think that if you put him into a situation kind of like the Rams where you've got really good coaching, you give him a couple of years, you stash him, he rotates in occasionally, and then in a couple of seasons, he could kind of be like Danielle Hunter and how he was all ceiling, and then eventually he actualized, it came on the field, and then we started to see the impact that Danielle Hunter had. I also really like the idea because I think that the Rams – should make an investment at linebacker. I think Christian Roseboom is fine for me. And I, you know, I support the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, of course, but I think that they should pay attention to Tyrese Knight from UTEP. He is a really physical, athletic, sideline to sideline type of a linebacker. I think that he would fit perfectly playing will for them. He flies all over the field. He checks all the boxes, doesn't need to start right away. And then again, somewhere on day three, he would make a lot of sense for the Rams.
I mean, I love this. Really quickly, because I know you have to go. What is the, as we wrap things up, what is the theme of the draft this year? What is the theme of the draft for the Rams? What is the theme, big picture, for the 2024 draft, in your opinion, really quickly?
I think that the theme of this draft is going to be wide receivers all over the place. I think that we are going to, in future years, be talking about guys that went in the fourth round, the fifth round, second round, third round, whatever round it might be, that we're going to be saying, like, wow, that guy has had an unbelievable NFL career. And it feels like one of those years at receiver where you can take as many shots as you want. You can have as many hot takes as you want on who's going to turn out to be an all pro. And some of them might hit. There's a high potential for a lot of these guys to turn out to be unbelievable players because of not only the top-end talent with guys like Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, and Marvin Harrison Jr., but also later-round guys like Ricky Pearsall, Ladd McConkey, Javon Baker. There's just so many options at receiver, and I really think, and this does apply as we've talked about today with the Rams, that so many teams are going to have options to just find key contributing players to join their receiving room. So I would definitely say that the theme feels like it's going to be a receiver.
Yeah. Well, I mean, draft day is just around the corner. No better person to have on the show than Joe DeLeon of the First Team and the Ruffino and Joe Show. Joe, thank you so much for schooling us on what we could expect out of Los Angeles. It's going to be interesting, is all I've got to say. And I cannot wait to see what Les Snead and Sean McVay cook up on April 25th. Joe, thank you again for joining us.
Of course. It was a blast hopping on, and I'm excited to see what the Rams do. Hopefully they can find some future stars, some future Pro Bowlers, and they can get back to that Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Joe.